In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Isn't it good to be in the house of God? It's first Sunday of 2024. It's nice to see everybody here today. It's nice to have Donna back with us. It's good to have Barb with us today, Angelina, and all the rest of you. It's a new year, and our theme for 2024 is more in 2024. I'm looking forward to more in 2024. Before we go into our scriptural text, I just want to share something. I saw a little reel on Facebook the other day. I shared with my wife. Man was out hunting, and he was at this lake, and he looked across the lake, and he saw an eagle on the far side of the lake. And he lifted up his voice to God, and he said, God, you know, the last little while, I haven't really felt your presence, haven't really heard your voice. But you know, God, if you're listening to me, if you're truly there, I would just love it if you would bring that eagle over here where I could get a closer look at this eagle. And he's videoing himself the whole time he's saying this. It looks a little odd because he's got the video kind of turned and it's just barely catching the side of his head. And after he says that, he moves the camera, turns his phone over. There's the eagle perched on his shoulder. He said, God, I asked if you were listening, I wanted a closer look. I don't think I could get much closer than this, that this eagle would fly over and land on my shoulder. Amen. God does listen. Yes, he does. God does hear when you cry out to him. And I just wanted to share that because I believe that it's applicable to my message this morning. If we can turn on our Bibles this morning to the book of Mark, chapter 9. I just want to let you know today, too, that this message today is as good for myself as it is for you. From the pulpit to the pew. Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse number 14. It says, when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question you with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whosoever he taketh him, and he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away, and I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for your presence in this house today, for your hand upon our lives, and for your leading and your guiding every single day, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you give to us every day, those that we see and those that we do not see, Lord. I ask, God, that you would anoint our ears to hear your voice today and have that desire to feel your presence in this house. I give you all glory and honor as all power resides in you. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to speak to you for just a little while this morning on what I have titled, Can I Be Honest? Can I Be Honest? We read in Mark chapter 9, verse number 24, Jesus asked the father of this child, he says, do you believe that I can do this? All things are possible to them that believe. Verse number 24 says, straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. And I'll put my little interjection in there. But I believe in his heart, he said, but can I be honest? Would you help my unbelief? Right. You see, before he even got to this point, the father threw out a question to Jesus. Asked him in verse number 22, says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus then turns that question back around onto the father and has said, if you can believe, I can have compassion on you. I can help you with what you desire today. I can answer your prayers. But do you believe? Because if you do believe, anything is possible. If you'll just believe, what you need today can be given to you. You see, it's not about Jesus. It's not about whether Jesus can hear your prayers. It's not about whether he does hear your prayers. It's not about whether he can answer your prayers. Because Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18, the second part says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He has all power. That's why Jesus turned the question around onto that father. He says, I can do what you're asking me to do right now if you believe. If you'll just acknowledge the fact that I can do this. If you'll just acknowledge the fact that I'm hearing your cry. I'm acknowledge the fact that I am here with you today and that I can do this. Because he has the power to do it. It's not about whether Jesus can answer your prayer today, because he can. If you'll just believe in it. The father in this very instance says, yes, I believe. But if I'm going to be honest with you today, I have unbelief in my heart. And I need your help with that unbelief. I need you to take that unbelief from me. You see, Jesus in this moment did not turn it back on the father and say, well, you have unbelief in your heart, so I'm not going to do this for you. He didn't say, well, because you've got a little bit of doubt going on inside of you, I'm not going to do this for you. If you don't truly believe today that I'm going to heal your son, then I'm not going to heal your son. That's not what Jesus did. Because I believe that there was a point in this conversation between this father and Jesus that when the father said, I believe, because I know that every single one of us in this place today, when we cry out to Jesus, when we ask him something for something in our lives, we believe, otherwise we wouldn't ask the question. But every single one of us in this place today also has that grain of doubt that says, well, maybe he's not going to hear me. Maybe he doesn't care what I'm going through. Maybe it's not. This isn't important to him. And we have that little bit of doubt that creeps in. But the point here is that that man also said to Jesus, I need you to help me with my unbelief. And the fact that he was honest with Jesus, the fact that he said, can I be honest with you? Because I've got some doubt inside of here. I've got some fear inside of here. I've got some things going on in here that could stop you from doing what it is that I need. And I need you to help me with that today. And he was honest with Jesus. And so Jesus healed that son. You see, it's been said before, and I'm going to say it again this morning, it's about relationship. It's about building that relationship with Jesus. It's about us having a desire to say, God, I need you in my life. I need you as a part of my life. I need you to know who I am, and I need to know who you are. And it's about being intimate with Jesus. You see, Jesus exhorted that many would come in that day of judgment. Many are going to come to him, and they're going to profess great things that they've done. And that not all of those that said those words would make heaven their home. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse number 21. Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And here's the crux of the matter. Jesus said, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You see, these were people that thought they were serving him. These were people that were more concerned about what they were doing than actually knowing who Jesus was and allowing Jesus to be a part of their lives, having that intimate relationship with Jesus, saying, God, I want to tell you every detail. I want to give you every fear. I want to give you every doubt. I want to give you every discouragement that I've had, because I need you to know who I am. I need you to know what I'm going through. I need you to know what I'm dealing with in my mind every single day. I want Jesus to say, I knew you. From the very moment you came unto me, I knew you. It's like when Jesus came and he started calling his disciples. And he goes to Philip. And he calls Philip. And then Philip runs to Nathanael. I'm pretty sure I've got that right. And Nathanael says, well, what good thing can come out of Nazareth? Philip says, come, see. So Nathanael comes, meets up with Jesus, and he's got his doubts as to who Jesus was. He had his doubts as to whether he wanted to follow Jesus. And he says, while you were under that fig tree, I saw you. What was he doing under that fig tree? Was he praying? Was he asking for a sign? Was he talking to God, saying, God, I need you as a part of my life? And when Jesus spoke those words to him, and he says, when you were under that tree, I saw you. It's under that tree that I began to know you. It's under that tree that I began to know who you are, what makes you tick, and what all of your hurts and your disappointments and your pains are. That's why he made that comment to him, because he said, I heard you under that tree. I heard your cry. I heard your prayer. What do any of us ask for in any relationship that we have? Whether our spouse, our significant other, we want from our parents, we want from our children, we want honesty. See, Jesus wants to know you. And he wants for you to just be honest with him. He wants to know your every thought, your dreams, your hurts, your disappointments, everything that's going on in your life every day. Well, he sees me. Yes, he does. But he wants you to talk to him. He wants you to call on him. He wants you to trust in him. He wants you to believe in him. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6. Beginning at verse number 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Casting all your care on him, because he cares for you. But I like the fact that he goes on. Bible also says, be not ignorant of the devil's devices. Know that he's out there seeking you. Know that he's out there trying to destroy you. Know that that adversary wants your soul to spend an eternity in hell with him. But you don't have to go there. You don't have to go down that road. You don't have to let him into your mind. You don't have to let him into your thoughts. You don't have to let him lead you down the wrong path. You can put your trust in Jesus. You can put your faith in him. You can cast your cares on him because he does care for you. Yes. Know that that adversary wants you to be quiet. He wants to stifle your prayers. He wants to isolate you away from God. Putting thoughts in your mind that God doesn't care what you've gone through, what you might even be going through even right now. Being honest with God is necessary to grow in intimacy with him. But the question is, what does it mean? What does it mean to be honest with God? When someone asks, are you okay? Or how are you doing today? How do you reply? Do you give an honest answer? Or maybe you're concerned that by telling somebody the truth that you're going to inconvenience their life. They don't really want to know. They're just being polite. It's just a common greeting. How are you today? But they don't want the answer. Maybe you don't want to share your problems or you're afraid to show your emotions. Maybe pride holds you back from honestly answering this question. But whatever the answer, most of us never really share the honest answer because we usually say, oh, I'm good, how are you? And then we also expect the other person to reply with, I'm doing good. Sometimes it's because we don't care what's going on in other people's lives. Sometimes we do ask that question, how are you today? Because we don't really want them to be honest with us. We don't want them to be burdened with their problems. And then it's a vicious cycle because then when I have a problem, I also don't go to anybody else because I think that's exactly what they're thinking. You see, if we can be honest today, most of us reply with that good, and we're not good. On the outside, everything looks good. However, on the inside, thoughts are racing continuously. Emotions are out of control, and often we're fighting ourselves and others for that control. And we're not good inside. So then if you are answering these questions from those around you when they ask you how you're doing, and you're answering them untruthfully, what do you take to God? Most likely the lies of the enemy are so convincing that you aren't honest with God either. Oh, we go to prayer. God, I wish you'd bless me today. God, help our church today. And the Bible does say we are supposed to intercede on behalf of others. We're supposed to pray for those around us. We're supposed to pray for our brothers and our sisters, and I do pray for my brothers and my sisters, and I hope that my brothers and my sisters are praying for me. But we go and we skirt all the way around the issue of how are you doing today? Do we actually get to the place when we're praying in our prayers, when we get down to brass tacks with God and say, God, and I need your help today. God, I need you to give me strength today. God, I need you to anoint my mind today from the attack of the enemy. The enemy attack that's been going on in my mind that's been trying to destroy me, God, because your word says that when the enemy comes at us like a flood, that you will lift up a standard against him. And God, I need that standard to be raised today because I can't fight the battle on my own anymore. And we get to that place where we believe the lies. Because we get comfortable with such a pretend state. I put on my suit. I got my tie just right. Come in and I smile and, hi, Donna, it's good to see you today. And, oh, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing great, you know. Life's been good. I had a great week. Everything's awesome. Hi, Pastor, Sister Z. Oh, what a! I'm so glad to be in the house of God today. I'm on fire, and then we get to singing songs, and we go through the service, and we go home. And we sit down on the couch, and the enemy comes in and starts speaking again. We get into such a place that we just get comfortable with that. Because that's where it is. We get to that place where we start believing the lies that the enemy gives to us. We forget that God knows what's going on in our heart. But he wants us to share it with him. When that man came with his son, and he says, "Do you believe that I can do this? Because anything is possible to them that believe." The man answered, "I believe." But when he said those words, "Help my unbelief," Jesus didn't go, "You don't believe?" Because Jesus knew the doubt that was in his heart. Jesus knew that there was a part of him that wanted to believe. Jesus knew that there was a part of him that couldn't believe. It wasn't a shock to Jesus because he knows already what's going on in your heart. But he wanted to hear the words from that man. He wanted that man to be honest with him. And the man was. And Jesus answered his prayer. The man came out, straight out, and said, "I have a doubt in my heart that I've got a doubt that's speaking to me right now saying you're not going to do this. That you can't do this. And I need you to help me with that because I want, like everything, to believe that you can." Psalm 44, verses 20 and 21 says, "If we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart." He knows right where you're at today. He knows the burden that you're carrying. "Come to me, all that are burdened and heavy laden. I will give you rest." He says, "Come. It's up to you to go. Cast your cares on him, for he careth for you." It's up to you to bring them to him and give them to him. He knows they're there. There's nothing that you can bring to God that he's not prepared to take for you. There's no burden too heavy for God. See, you might be able to deceive others with the condition of your heart and soul, but you'll never deceive God. You need to learn to be honest with God and with yourself. See, being honest with God and yourself is a risk worth taking to receive God's love and deliverance from the burdens that you're carrying, from the baggage that keeps you bound. See, we sing the song, "Just a Little Talk with Jesus." The chorus goes, "Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer wheel turning, you know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right." That's an old songbook hymn that have been sung thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of times. But do you believe it? Do you believe those words? That you can tell him all of your troubles? Do you believe the fact that he will hear your faintest cry? And that by talking to Jesus, we'll make it all right? How often are the songs that we sing, they're just that, just a song. Just words. Can I be honest today? Many times the songs that we've sung, that's all it's been in my heart. It's just a song. I can sing the words. I can go along singing, praising. I can lift up my hands. I can be exactly what everybody's expecting me to be. But the song didn't move me. It didn't connect me to God the way the song should. Many times the preaching that I've heard, they were just words. I listened to the words and I went home unchanged. Not because there was not power in those words. Because when we hear the preaching of the Word of God, we need to believe that it is the Word of God. Right. We need to believe that God is trying to speak to us. And we need to get into that place where we're ready to receive from the Word of God. But I'm sure if every one of us in this place would be honest today, we've all come in and listened to the preaching of the Word, and that's all they were words. And we've left unchanged, unmoved, unmotivated. And then it gets to the place where you go, why do I even bother? You see, Jesus asked that father in Mark 9:23. He says, if thou canst believe. If we're honest today, we do believe. We believe the words of the enemy. We believe the words that hold us bound in prisons without bars. We believe the lies that knock us down when we try to get up. And then over time, we allow our hearts to become hardened so that the words that we sing, the preaching that we hear, they no longer have any effect on our heart and ultimately our soul. We just come because it's expected. We come because we don't want people to know where we're at. Because pride gets into our hearts. Well, I want to go to church. I want to be different. I want God to move on me. But sometimes we get to that place where our heart becomes that heart of stone. And God's knocking. He's trying to get in. We just sit there. Nothing changes us. We can get to that place where we are not honest with God. And we get to that place where we're no longer even honest with ourselves. We get to that place where we even deny where we're at. When we put on our smile and when people ask us how we're doing and we say, good. We even begin to believe that because we believe that the state that we're in, we believe that the lies that we've been listening to, we believe that the things that we've been feeling are just natural and that they're just a part of who we are and nothing is ever going to be different. So we believe that the state that I'm in today, that is good. But it's not good. We believe that I can make it on my own. We believe that I can fight this battle. We believe that I don't need anybody's help. And I don't need God's help. And our adversary wins. Because we're going to be the ones then to stand before God on that day of judgment. And say, well, God, I never stopped going to church. God, I participated in all the fundraisers. I did my best to go out and reach souls. Well, why weren't you successful in reaching souls? Maybe because people could see through my facade. Maybe because people could see that I wasn't really there. And we'll stand before God and try to come up with all these excuses as to why we should be allowed in. And then he answers us and says, I didn't know you. I told you to bring your burdens to me, and you refused. I told you to come to me because I would give you rest, and you kept pushing on by yourself. You had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to come, but yet you would not. And our adversary sits back and rubs his hands together. Says, I got another one. But at the end of our story, we want him to sit back. And as are we doing our Muppets a lot, oftentimes, have the adversary turn around and say, rats, I've lost another one. See, Titus chapter 3. And verse number 3, beginning at verse number 3, says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. A hardened heart will hear those words. Being deceived, serving divers lust, foolish, disobedient. I think those don't apply to me. And will ignore the mercy of God that is reaching for them in that moment. Because every day, God doesn't chase us. Just like the father of the prodigal son. He knew the pitfalls the son was going to fall into. He knew that he was going out into the world. He knew that he was leaving the safety of home. He knew that he was going out into the place. He knew exactly what his son was going to do with the inheritance that he was given. But it was his choice. So the father says, here you go. The father didn't chase him into the city. The father didn't go looking for him. The Bible says that, but when that son had wasted it all on riotous living, when he got to the, found himself in the pit where he was eating the leftovers from the pigs, and he said, the Bible says, and he came to himself, and he realized, if I would just go back to my father's house, I could do well as a servant in his house, better than I'm doing right now. And he says, and he got up and he went home. And there was the father, watching, waiting for his son's return. So with each and every one of us, God says, come. God says, cast your cares on me. God gives us the suggestions and tells us what it is that we need to do, but we have to take and step out and do those things. We have to be honest with ourselves, get to that place where we are able to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, realize the state that we are in and say, God, I need your help. God, I can't do this without you. God, I need your power, and I need your mercy, and I need your love, and I know that if I dwell in your house, God, that you will take care of me all the days of my life, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that you are going to be there, God, to raise up that standard against him, that I can trust in you every day of my life, God, to give me the help and the support that I need and the love that I need and the mercy that I need every single day. I don't want to be deceived by the state that I'm in. I don't want to be deceived by the feelings and the lies that the enemy has been feeding me. And I want to trust in you, God, every single day. I need that mercy that reaches for me. Because God has it new and fresh for you every day. I want us to read in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3, beginning at verse number 7. It says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." It gets to that place where we need to realize where we are. And when you look at yourself in the mirror, don't just put on that smiley face, but see yourself for where you're at. And come to that realization that, God, I need you. Because it's only through that that God is able to reach in and be able to take that stony heart and replace it with that heart of flesh. Jesus says this in John 16 and 13, says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." See, being honest with God and yourself means aligning every part of your heart to God's word and the Spirit of truth. And the only way to truly align every part of your heart to God is by allowing the Spirit of truth to search and examine your heart through prayer. John 8:32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It'll get you to that place where you're no longer bound by prison bars that are unseen. No longer bound by the words of the enemy speaking into your heart every day. No longer bound by the deceitfulness of our enemy who comes in and tries to trick you through the words that he speaks, the lies that he tells, and what he places into our hearts to keep us away from God. See, by allowing God to search and examine your heart through prayer, God will bring to light any dark or deceptive thoughts about yourself, others, or even Jesus. Asking God to search your heart is the most genuine way of being honest with God and yourself. You will be set free and delivered once God has exposed the deception. Psalm 139, beginning at verse number 23, says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in thy way everlasting." I said it before, all too often we go to prayer. Prayer isn't a monologue of us spewing out our thoughts to God. Prayer is a conversation where we need to spend time listening for that voice. Because we can say, "Search me, God," and then continue to ramble on about a litany of other different things in our lives and what's in our heart, and we can continue to just ramble on our thoughts and pray for everybody, to the missionaries in Africa, to the little boy that we saw walking down the street, or whatever it is that comes to our mind, and never allow God to speak to us. But when we say, God, I need you to search me. God, I need you to look inside of me. I need you to help me to see what's going on inside. I need you to help me to see the lies of the enemy that he's been speaking to me. I need you to show me, God, all these things that if I've got aught against anybody else, if I've got even aught against you, God, that if I've got doubts and if I've got fears and if I've got things in my life, God, that are stopping me from making it my full potential to live for you, then I need you to show it to me, God. And then you need to wait and listen and observe what he shows you. It's like that man with the eagle. You see, we get to that place in our lives where our hearts do become hardened sometimes. God, I don't hear you anymore. God, I don't feel you anymore. God, do you even care about me? Do you hear my prayers when I lift them up to you? And God is listening. God does care. God has been reaching. And that man out in the woods, out hunting by himself. God, if you're really there, show me. And God did. How much clearer could he have shown that man? It kind of gets to the point of, brings to my mind Gideon. I'm going to give you the battle. But I want you to know that it's not you. So I want you to tell everybody that's afraid. I want you to tell them to go home. I don't want people that are afraid. So Gideon says, any of you that are afraid, you just go home. And his army gets reduced. Now, Gideon, you'll still think that you did the battle. I want you to go and tell all your men to go drink at the brook over here. And I'll sort them out. And any of those that lap like a dog, there's your army, Gideon. That's it, God? You want us to go into battle with 300 men? Against an army that's as a multitude, like as of grasshoppers that are not able to be numbered? Well, Gideon, when you have the victory, you'll know I gave it to you. There will be no doubt in your mind that I gave you the victory, Gideon. There will be no doubt in any of your men's minds that I gave you the victory, Gideon. That man looking at that eagle across the lake says, God, if you are hearing me today, I just want you to bring him closer. Well, guess what would have happened if that eagle would have just flown by? It's coincidence. I know what I prayed. I know, God, I asked you to send the eagle closer, and it came closer, but, you know, it probably just flew over here because there was a fish in the pond over here somewhere. God was saying, I want there to be no doubt in your mind that I am answering your prayer right now. I'm going to take this wild eagle, and I'm going to bring him so close to you that you will not ever doubt the fact that I hear you. You will never doubt the fact that I am listening to you. You will never doubt the fact of my presence right beside you ever again. And he lands that eagle on the man's shoulder, saying, here you go, sir. I hear your cry. I am here for you. You don't ever have to wonder where I am. So when you say, search me, God, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Know that God is going to hear you. Know that God is going to show it to you, and you just need to be ready for the answer. You need to be ready to accept what it is that he shows you, and then from that point on, you need to say, from now on, I'm going to be honest with myself. I'm going to be honest with the state that I'm in, and I'm going to know that I need your help, God. I'm going to know that I need your touch upon my life. I'm going to know that I need you to be in the battle with me, God, because I can't do it alone. Because I've been doing it alone, and I've been failing. So when we push past our pride and humble ourselves to God, it is only then that he can heal us and to help us to have a healthy relationship with him. And you know what the best part of having a healthy relationship with God is? Through that will cause you to have a healthy relationship with all the rest of the people in your life. God needs to be first. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When he becomes number one, when you can humble yourself to God and say, God, I need you. God, I'm going to cast every care upon you. I am going to burden you so hard today, God, with everything that's in my mind, with all the thoughts that I've been battling with over the last few weeks, with everything that's been going on in my life, God, I'm giving them to you today. And God is going to stand there and say, bring it on. Give me more. I will take it from you. And then you have to lay it down at the altar, and you have to be able to get up and leave it all there. Saying, God, I've given it to you now. I want more in 2024, so I'm going to give you everything today so that I can move forward in freedom, so that I can move forward and get beyond this prison that I've found myself in for however long it's been. And I'm going to push past this and trust in you moving forward, God. Sister Zotsman comes today, and as we stand together, can I be honest? I need God every day. You need God every day. We need his grace. We need his mercy. We need his love daily. See, God used to enter the garden to come down and commune with Adam and Eve until sin separated them. God wants that intimate relationship back. Amen. And you can only have it if you're being honest with yourself and with God. God knows your heart. You can't shock him today. There's nothing that you can burden him with today that he's going to be surprised at. But I believe that he is here this morning saying, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Cast your cares on me because I care for you. I urge you to talk to God this morning. This altar is open. And God is here. Just be honest with God. Thank you.
See?